Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July the 2nd. And it's time for the State Capitol Report, the hour we set aside each week to review the latest development in public policy issues facing the state of Wisconsin. And we will preview the week ahead with our state government reporter, find out what the state legislature and our state government officials are going to be up to this week. And the answer is going to be not much, as it's the 4th of July holiday. The legislature has been pretty busy, though, in the last week. The state Senate passed its version of the state budget last week, and now it's the state assembly's turn. We will hear from the Speaker of the State Assembly, Mike Hipsch. Coming up after 7:30 this morning, we'll talk about what the Assembly plans to do with the budget passed by the democratically controlled state Senate. One huge bone of contention is a new universal health care plan that was included in the Senate's version of the budget. We will welcome your thoughts and questions for both of our guests during our state capitol report. We wonder if you want this universal health care proposal in the budget or not. We will wonder what other questions you have about what's in the state budget or not, and what you want to see the Assembly do or not with the spending plan. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, is with us now. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
Happy new fiscal year.
Right. Do you feel any different?
No, I don't. The state runs on a July to July fiscal year, and all things being perfect, we'd have a brand new state budget funding everything right now, but we don't.
It generally doesn't work that fast in Wisconsin, especially because there's not a huge need for it to happen that quickly, since if you don't have a budget at this point, last year's budget just carries over.
Yeah, and we are probably not going to have a new state budget anytime real soon, right?
You look at recent history when you have split party control, and the budget usually drags on into September or October. So I think, the leaders of the parties get along fairly well this time, but ideologically they're coming from different places, so I would imagine that you're going to have kind of a drawn-out battle this time, too.
Yeah, I know that there was a lot of coverage of the universal health care plan that Senate Democrats unveiled last week. We talked some in last week's State Capitol Report about that, and we also had State Senator John Erpenbach on last Tuesday. Tell us a little bit about this plan.
It's kind of a hybrid of a few of the plans that have been considered at the Capitol in recent years. And basically the way it would work is it would have a payroll tax on employers and employees, where the average employer would pay about $370 per worker per month. The average employee would pay about $140. And, in return, you'd have the same healthcare system for everybody, the same type of healthcare coverage that state employees get, the same kind of coverage that state lawmakers get, as you're going to hear over and over again from Democrats. The cost would be about a $15 billion payroll tax, but Democrats are saying that this is actually a good deal for most people because it'll end up being less than what they're paying in premiums. And, that's something that Middleton Democrat John Erpenbach said on the Senate floor last week when he talked about this. He said that their constituents are fed up with out-of-control health care costs, and the plan he's authored will help deal with that. But he also said that's not the biggest reason to support it.
Hey, we can go through all the savings. That's all really nice. But in the end, this is the right thing to do for who we represent in the state of Wisconsin, our constituents. For those of you, Mr. President, members of the Senate, who don't think health care is a financial burden on the people they represent, haven't been listening close enough. They are screaming, enough is enough. Businesses are saying, please do something about health care.
Yeah, now Republicans are screaming, though, that this is too much.
Yeah, this is completely different than what they think should be done about health care. They've called for, I guess, more incremental steps, more market-based steps. Tax deductions for health savings accounts, for example. So this is a big direction away from where they'd like to go. And you heard Republican Minority Leader Scott Fitzgerald telling Democrats last week that if this became law, it would result in an outcry if some people are forced to switch doctors, for example. And he said that they needed to treat this plan as a real possibility.
You better know what you're doing. You had better know what you are doing. Because if this becomes law, and the day that that plan is launched, and it fails, there is no way to put the system back together. No way. So be careful what you push, because it may actually become law.
We're going to check our weather forecast, and then we will talk more about this universal health care plan and other issues that are in contention dealing with the state budget as our state capitol report continues, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. After 7:30, we will welcome in Mike Hipsch, the Republican state representative from West Salem, who is the speaker of the state assembly. And we welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Do you like this proposed universal health care plan that Senate Democrats or the state Senate passed in the budget last week or not? Why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5, Ben will be talking with a guest who wrote a book on who killed health care reform. Speaking of health care reform, we are talking about that as we examine issues affecting the state of Wisconsin in our state capitol report, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the budget that the state Senate passed last week that includes a plan for universal health care. We'll talk about more things in the budget in just a moment, but we do have a caller on this topic, universal health care in Wisconsin, 1-800-642-1234. Our number, if you want to weigh in or if you have a question, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Ed in Madison joins us. Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'm really glad to hear that this kind of proposal is finally reaching the legislature in a serious way. What I'm interested to hear when your next guest comes on is how pro-business people could possibly be opposed to this. The simple economics of removing about 28 of the 30% of unnecessary overhead from administering our so-called system would be something you'd think a business person would immediately understand. And I think all but the biggest businesses grasp it immediately. There's a great unrestrained entrepreneurship in this country and in this state of people who have some kind of curse upon them in terms of health status in their family, who can't go out and really exploit their fullest potential because they have to stay under the umbrella of an employer-based health plan.
All right. Thank you very much, Ed. Well, Sean, what businesses like this and what businesses don't? Oops, go ahead.
At this point, when we had a public hearing on this on Monday, the plan was introduced the following. I mean, the plan wasn't introduced until Monday, so you can't really call it a real genuine public hearing. But you did hear from businesses, small businesses there, who were invited, told about this hearing by Democrats, that this would be a good deal for them because they'd end up paying less than what they're paying right now in terms of premiums. The business groups spoke out against this plan. The National Federation of Independent Businesses, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And one point that they made is that, you know, it could be in some cases be the smallest business that doesn't care for this. That business that's not paying for health care right now because they can't afford to would be paying, you know, an additional $370 per month per employee with this tax that they're not paying right now. So that's one argument against it.
So it's something that right now they're not doing it, presumably because they can't afford it. This plan would tell them they have to do it.
Right. And, you know, Democrats would argue, well, this will make it affordable for them. And yes, it would be a good deal for them. But the bottom line is they would be paying money, whereas right now they're not.
Yeah. We have Sarah in De Pere has a question about this proposed universal health care program. What happens to all the current insurance companies under this plan? Do we have that level of detail, Sean, for this particular proposal?
I don't know exactly what happens to the current insurance system. I mean, and there's some concern among critics that it would damage a system that covers about 90% of Wisconsin residents right now, which is, you know, certainly not everybody. And if you're in that 10%, it's not good enough. But there's concern that this would sort of dismantle that.
Yeah. So suffice it to say that that the Assembly now has a crack at the state budget, including this proposed health care plan. And the Republicans in the Assembly don't like it one bit, right?
No, I haven't heard anyone speak highly of this among Assembly Republicans at this point, although there have been Assembly Republican lawmakers who have come out in favor of a universal health care plan in the past. I mean, you'll hear from the speaker in a little while, but his basic take on this was that we'll see how seriously Democrats want this when they step to the conference table to, you know, hash out our differences after the Assembly passes its budget. Mm-hmm. He says that if Democrats are, you know, dead set on this, they have to have this, they really dig in their heels, it increases the likelihood that the state won't pass any budget at all. Assembly Republicans won't want to pass any budget at all.
Well, again, we mentioned it would be a week from today that the assembly will take up the state budget, right? They're not going to take it up this week.
No, not. There was talk that they might take it up tomorrow, but they're still Assembly Republicans are still meeting behind closed doors to sort things out among their own members at this point.
Yeah.
Before they go to the floor,
because there's plenty in this state budget passed by the Senate that the Assembly Republicans disagree with, not just the universal health care plan.
Yeah, and they want to make sure that they're all on the same page before they go to the floor and argue this thing out in public. And that's unfortunately kind of the way things work in the Wisconsin legislature. A lot of the meaty debate goes on amongst the parties behind closed doors, and then the final product is what's agreed upon. But I think right now Assembly Republicans have to make sure that they all are on the same page on taking out all these tax increases, because when you do that, there's a lot of government programs that would go unfunded that might be popular for some of these lawmakers, especially lawmakers that are in contested districts that, you know, have a lot of independent voters, could vote Democrat or Republican.
So besides the universal health care plan, what else is worth noting that is in this budget that the Senate passed last week?
Well, I mean, there's spending increases sort of across the board. Education gets more, you know, higher education gets more. There are a lot of areas of state government that benefit under their budget. You could have said that about the governor's budget. And in fact, the Democrats' budget grew even more beyond that. So that there are other constituencies that are happy with this one. And to do that, they also added some more taxes. They increased the governor's oil tax, for example. They also added a new tax on multi-state corporations, and it would force them to pay based on their overall earnings instead of just on their Wisconsin-based subsidiaries. And I think we have Democratic Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson talking about that.
We want everybody to pay their fair share. Why should they get a free ride while our working families and working and businesses in this state pay more for police protection and public education than they do?
Mm-hmm. And if you take the tax increase as a whole, they'd be the largest in state history, and by one measure, they'd be the biggest increase in the nation. It would definitely bump Wisconsin up to the number one tax burden state in the nation, according to the Tax Foundation in Washington, D.C. And again, Democrats argue that it's actually you end up better off for consumers because those taxes are replacing health care premiums, but that aside, it would be a high tax state. You'd have more than $1 billion coming in from what the governor proposed, and another $15 billion coming from the payroll tax the Senate Democrats proposed to pay for health care.
Mm-hmm.
Republican Senator Alberta Darling already liked the governor's budget, and she says Senate Democrats made it worse.
It is just shocking to me that the Democratic senators think that they can increase all the spending in their budget up and over what the governor did. You know, the governor got elected on saying he was not going to increase taxes. I wish people would wake up. The governor did increase taxes, and now our Senate Democrats want to increase spending more.
So, and plus the Senate Democrats put a lot of stuff back into the budget, like mandated autism coverage, domestic partners benefits, other things like that?
Yeah, a lot of stuff that the governor wanted in the first place in his budget proposal, and they were taken out in the committee process in order to get both sides to sort of work on this thing under comfortable terms. Senate Democrats put those back in. It gives them more leverage once you go to a conference committee to work on a final deal.
So the Republicans, I did see a quote, and we'll talk to Mike Hipsch in just a few minutes after the news, but he said now Republicans are the last line of defense for taxpayers. The Republicans are saying they want to take all of these new taxes out of the budget.
Yeah, you're seeing some very stark differences emerge. Mm. If there weren't already stark differences between the party, I think Democrats putting this health care plan in the budget really highlights them, where they've decided that health care is the biggest issue on people's minds, and tax or not, we're going to put this in there. We're going to have people talking about it, and the public is going to side with us. And Republicans are really banking on the fact that, look, we're the party that keeps your taxes low. And we're going to take a hard line on this budget and take taxes out of it, and we'll see who fares the best.
But to be clear, that like one of the taxes you said they made it an even bigger oil tax. That's a tax on the oil companies. That's not necessarily a personal tax on me.
If it doesn't get passed on to you. Mm-hmm. Now the oil tax, the way that the governor proposed it in his bill, it's not supposed to be passed on to consumers. There's supposed to be penalties if these oil companies pass it on to consumers. The question is, how do you keep track of that when these oil companies, how do you keep track of why gas prices go up? Mm-hmm. And when they control so many other things like asphalt, they could raise the price of their asphalt. And is that because of the gas tax increase? The other question is, would this end up in court? So there's a lot of issues with these taxes.
Did the cigarette tax hike get put into the Senate's version of the budget?
The cigarette tax is in there, and that's another one. That may be the most politically popular of the tax increases, being, a sin tax. But that's another one where Assembly Republicans have said they're going to take that one out. Because that would hit consumers as well, they say.
Yeah, well, more to talk about, but not a whole lot of time. Only a minute to go. Anything worth noting that happened at the Democratic Party convention over the weekend in Milwaukee?
You know, we didn't cover that just because it's an off year. There's not a lot of not state races this year to deal with. But the governor at the end of his speech said, just reading the quotes in the papers, that he said, quote, at the end of these 4 years of working together, who knows, maybe we'll need four more.
Ooh, well, that's a hint, huh?
You haven't heard him talk like that recently, and who knows if he's going to run again, but that's certainly a hint in one direction, and I think most people around the Capitol have been assuming that he's not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear that and to look at his campaign finance reports and see that he's still raising money the way he did in his first term, makes you think.
Well, maybe we'll talk more about that in our next State Capitol Report. Enjoy a few days off for the 4th of July, Sean, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter. Mike Hipsch joins us after the news. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us for this edition of the State Capitol Report for this Monday, July the 2nd. It's 7:36. And happy to be welcoming in the Speaker of the State Assembly, Mike Hipsch, for this segment of our State Capitol Report. Every Monday during this hour, we review the latest happenings from under the State Capitol Dome and look ahead to what's likely to happen in the coming week. And the all-consuming issue right now is the state budget. The state Senate, controlled by Democrats, passed its version of the spending plan for the next 2 years last week. The Republican-led Assembly is not in agreement with much of what is in that version of the budget, including a universal health care plan that was added the day before the Senate passed the budget, and some other taxes. We'll talk about them. We'll hear why Speaker Hipsch says Republicans are the last line of defense for taxpayers now. And we will welcome your questions and reactions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. What do you think of this $15 billion payroll tax that has been proposed to pay for universal health care? What about the $1 billion in taxes on oil companies and hospitals? And cigarettes, I think cigarettes included in that. We will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, Mike Hipsch, a Republican state representative from West Salem and Speaker of the State Assembly. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. Let me ask you first, because it might be a shorter answer, is there anything you like about the state budget that was passed by the state Senate last week?
Throw me a curveball right off the bat. Well, is there anything I like? Well, the fact that they passed it is a good thing, and so now we can work on ours, and that's what the Republicans have been doing. But, boy, there's not much in there that you can embrace.
Yeah.
I, as you said in the beginning, and certainly the story from the Tax Foundation, shows that this is the biggest tax increase in the nation. I don't know why people believe in the Senate Democratic Caucus that the people of Wisconsin can afford that, but we are certainly struggling with the taxes they put in there, but we're also going to craft a budget, and we're in the process of doing that right now, that does not raise taxes, that in fact gets government back in line with people's ability to pay. And I think that's why you're going to see a significant difference between the two budgets, but one that the taxpayers certainly can embrace when we pass ours.
And you'll start working on that at least as a full assembly next week, not this week, right?
Right. Well, that's our hope. We are in caucus developing the different components of our budget. We are going through the Senate and all of the taxes they put in and trying to remove those. And of course, then establishing our priorities. I mean, it's important that we note that, as with every budget, even our family budget, it is a priority-setting document. And we will, as our top priority, keep the taxpayers in mind, of course, but we will also make sure that we are funding things that are important to the people of the state, like K-12 education. K-12 education will get more money in even the Republican budget than it's ever gotten in the history of the state, because we know we want to make sure that our children's education is important. We'll also provide for those who can't provide for themselves in things like Medicaid and things like that. We will put some dollars in there. But there's an awful lot of other areas that we're simply not going to be able to afford, because really, when you're still in the top 10 tax states in the nation, you've got to figure out ways that you can spend less. And that's the challenge that we're working on, and I think the budget we're going to develop.
Yeah. What about the Democrats arguing that this payroll tax that would be used to fund their universal health care proposal ends up being less than what we're paying for health care premiums right now anyway? It's not really a tax increase on us.
Yeah. Whenever the government is going to take billions of your money and begin to direct more of your life, and certainly health care is an important part of everyone's life, that is not only a tax, but it is also a huge intrusion of government activity. And it's, you know, combined, those are the two reasons I think that this health care plan is just going to fall on its face. And even Governor Doyle has distanced himself from it. When you're talking about a tax increase like this, and you did talk earlier about the hospital tax and the, mm-hmm. you know, gas tax, and there's even a house tax in here, a home tax. When you add all those up, we are talking about over $18 billion in taxes going up in the Senate budget. Just to put that in perspective, you know, all of the money that the state government raises right now through our sales, income, and corporate taxes combined comes up to just over $13 billion a year, and they have increased taxes over $18. Now, that puts in perspective, I think, the magnitude of this tax and why groups like the Tax Foundation, which are out in Virginia, are just shaking their head from afar, and they can't believe what we've tried to do here to the state taxpayers.
So you are committed to, you would want to remove this tax on the big oil companies? That's not, again, a tax on me personally, is it?
Of course it will be. What the governor has come out with from the beginning is this idea that we are going to tax big oil and we're going to throw Exxon officials in jail. It is, I think, a system where there's no question about the fact that the tax will eventually be passed onto the pump. And the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has indicated that we could see as much as between a 5 and 7 cent increase in taxes at the pump. And if that is passed on, that will make Wisconsin, again, not only the highest tax state in gasoline from that side of it, but also with the payroll tax and all the others, we will be one of the highest, if not the highest states in the country as far as overall taxes. So that's, again, one of the reasons why we're steering away from all those taxes. We will pass a budget that does not have tax increases in it.
Yeah, including the tax on hospitals, which the governor says would result in more Medicaid money coming from the federal government to Wisconsin?
Right. What he's doing is he's taxing. You know, one of the biggest things we consistently hear, and obviously taxes are all the story right now, Joy, but obviously the one thing we hear from businesses and we hear from families across the state is the cost of health care. It's not necessarily the quality. We have, as we saw recently, the best health care in the country, nor is it necessarily accessibility as far as just proximity to health care, but it's really affordability and the inability for families and small businesses to provide it for their employees or health care for their families. And the governor's answer to that was then to raise taxes. That's just so counterintuitive to the answer that we're trying to look for. What we need to do is figure out a way that individuals and those of us as people, patients, if you will, in healthcare, have more control and more access to our dollars and more information to make those decisions. I mean, you know, this is just a philosophical difference between, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats as far as what we're trying to do. And the Democrats have set up a plan whereby a government board is going to set costs and prices and things along those lines. And of course, whenever government begins to do that, as we've seen in every different sector of society, you begin to create shortages and certainly quality declines.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is provide consumers, patients, the ability to make decisions, and through things like health savings accounts and wellness savings and other programs like that, give individuals more information. You know, the fact is that we as consumers right now have more information and more purchase power over our next washer and dryer than where we should get, and the information telling us the quality of our next physical or where we should get my, you know, son's broken arm set. And that type of information should be available to consumers, and purchase power should be along with it.
Yeah, Speaker Hipsch, if the Republicans in the Assembly are going to remove all of these proposed taxes on oil companies and hospitals and whatever else have you, payroll tax for the health care, how is the government going to pay for the services that that people expect? And you're going to increase, you said, K-12 education funding. Something's got to be cut then, right?
Certainly, unquestionably. And that's the thing that we believe, especially in the Republican caucus, both in the Assembly and in the Senate, we believe that's what the voters were saying, is when we are still the 7th or 8th highest taxed people in the country, you need to get government in line with people's ability to pay, not just what government would like to provide, but get it back to where we can afford it. And that's, yes, unquestionably, you have to look at every area. And I set two priorities early on. I said, you know, we were going to put more money into K-12 education because education for our children is so important. And then we're going to provide for those who can't provide for themselves, like senior care and Badger Care, things, programs along those lines. And we have, you know, a bipartisan fashion fought for things like senior care and making sure that other programs are available. But after that, Joy, you're absolutely right. You have to look at ways that government is simply going to have to do with less. They're going to have to, in some instances, live on what they had last time, and in other last year, and in other agencies, just absorb reductions. And it just goes back to the fact that Wisconsin is taxed too high. I mean, you know, a rather incredible thing happened just a few weeks ago, and I'm not sure a lot of people noticed it, but Minnesota, by not raising taxes, dropped out of the top 10 tax states in the nation for the first time since the 70s. It had been a very long time. And Wisconsin has been in the top 10 tax states every year since 1964, with the exception of just a couple of years when we became the 11th and then quickly jumped back in. Simply by not raising taxes, because so many other states are, Wisconsin could drop out of the top 10 tax states in the nation for the first time in a generation. What a great opportunity to give our taxpayers and reinvest in our economy rather than reinvesting in our government.
We are talking with Mike Hipsch. He is a Republican state representative from West Salem. He is the Speaker of the State Assembly. The State Assembly will be taking up the state budget next week, passing its own version of the state budget, which will not look anything, Mike Hipsch says, like the budget that was passed by the state Senate last week. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We'll spend the rest of our time with your calls for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll be talking with the author of A Year Without Made in China. We'll talk about what happened when her family tried to stop buying products made in China and whether it's even possible. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. It's now 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, July the 2nd. This is our State Capitol Report, and we are talking with Mike Hipsch, the Speaker of the State Assembly, about the state budget and what the State Assembly is going to do about the state budget when it comes back into session next week. Dennis in Rhinelander is with us first. Hi, Dennis. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to talk to Mr. Hipsch about the Senate proposal on health insurance. I heard him say earlier that it's a matter of priorities and a difference in priorities between the Republicans and the Democrats, and I do agree with him on that. I personally believe that the cost of health insurance in the state is exorbitant, and I think that the state taxpayers are actually asked to subsidize quite a bit of that high cost. I recently came across a document which was about Wisconsin Badger Care, which indicated that there is about $24 million of taxpayers' money that goes to corporations such as Walmart, McDonald's, Aurora, and Menards. Walmart specifically gets $3,653,000 of subsidization from the Wisconsin taxpayers for its employees.
Oh, you're saying that its employees are on Badger Care rather than buying their health.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And five of the 10 richest people in the United States are in the Walton family. I think that something needs to be done with the idea of having corporations, including the pharmaceutical companies and the industry itself, the healthcare industry, from, and along with the insurance companies, from gouging our society.
Yeah. Speaker Hipsch?
Sure. Yeah, Dennis, I agree that taxpayers are being asked to fund more of health care. In fact, you know, when you take a look at why health care costs are going up, there's a number of factors, and we've addressed this in Badger Care as far as corporations, and really it comes down to the individuals, those families and the income that they're making, and that qualifies them for Badger Care or it does not. But, you know, one of the biggest problems, I think, in health care, Joy and Dennis, today is government. The fact that, you know, through all of these programs, we will provide individuals so many different services, every service there is available, but we pay pennies on the dollar to the providers, and then we're surprised when they pass it on to the rest of us. I mean, that's one of the we've kind of called it the hidden health care tax. The fact that government provides, it says that we'll provide so many different programs, we underfund every one of them, and then when they have to pass that on, that's what's driving up the cost of health care for the rest of us. And so there is a system here that unquestionably needs to be reformed, but turning it over to government and certainly turning it over to a board that's then going to determine costs and where you can get health care and whether or not you can get health care, that's just a reform that's too frightening to consider.
Bob in Lake Tomahawk is with us. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I'd like to know, why doesn't the Republicans want everybody in Wisconsin to be covered by health care?
Unquestionably, we want everyone covered by health care. We want individuals to have access to health care and affordable health care across the country, not just in Wisconsin. But what we want is personal ownership of that health care. We want individuals to be able to make the decisions for themselves and their families and have greater purchase power over that health care, giving them access, giving them the ability to get health care at their local provider and doing it at a rate where they have control and they can determine whether or not what the cost is going to be and the quality and those type of things. I mean, we purchase everything in society that way. We go down and we can purchase any product we want because we have the money in hand, we have personal ownership over it, and we have the information available to us to make sure that we're making wise decisions. Why in the world would we not do that for healthcare? Why should we not have the information and the purchase power in healthcare? That's the difference.
Yeah, some would argue, though, that people, especially those living paycheck to paycheck, may be making more money than they can to qualify for something like Badger Care, can't afford these whatever $300 or plus premiums for health insurance and or putting money aside for a health savings account.
Well, they certainly First of all, as far as health savings account, what you've got is you've got personal ownership, but you will have employer contribution to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's certainly what we're seeing, say, in Manitowoc County as an example, where one of our Democratic colleagues, Bob Ziegelbauer, has established this for Manitowoc County. All the county employees, they are on a health savings account where they have control over their health care. And now instead of being able to just or being forced into one provider, they have the dollars to be able to go wherever they want to get the health care that they need, and that, of course, will directly affect the cost. But, you know, as far as low-income folks not being able to afford health care, the analysis on the Democrat health care plan or the Wisconsin health plan shows that increased employer costs would result in the loss of anywhere between 3,000 and 8,000 minimum-wage jobs across this state when they don't have any employment at all because their employer cannot afford the employer costs of this health care plan. That's when they won't be living paycheck to paycheck because they won't have one anymore. And that's the really negative impact of this health care plan that people need to be aware of.
Yeah. We had lots of callers on health care in particular, we will welcome your questions on other aspects of the state budget as well. Phil in Belleville is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, no, I've voted both parties before. I was a real diehard Republican, but we really need health care for small businesses and these health savings accounts and stuff. People don't have all that time to take care of it. And, you know, and our country is rated, 36, 37 in the world. Other countries have figured out how to have a better plan. You know, we just need, well, where I was working, it would have been $950 for me to pay for my wife. If you're only making $12 to $14 an hour, where do you find this $950? You know, all these small businesses, these people are going without insurance.
Right.
And I think the universal care is the answer. And the health savings accounts, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal on how that's kind of failing. That's not so popular, and that doesn't work so good. We have to take this big profit out of the insurance companies. They're taking probably 30% for doing nothing. They do no medical procedures. They don't come up with vaccines. That's what's destroying our health care system. Thank you.
Sure. I guess my only response would be that as far as trying to take the profits out of some of the areas of healthcare, I mean, one of the best ways, again, is to give consumers the control over the dollars. And once we figure out how we can give individuals like Bob and others to go out and purchase their own health care and give it and make sure that they have the dollars, that's when profits will be declined, if you will, and brought more in line with people's ability to pay, because people will be paying. Right now, since we have this third-party system, I mean, Joy, you and I or any one of your callers goes out and purchases health care, we really don't know what we're paying for. I mean, ask your provider when you go in and say, look, I know I came in for this checkup. I'd like to know what the actual costs are. It's very difficult, and frankly, most times, the provider, the doctor, doesn't even know the costs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we need to change, because once we have the information of what we're purchasing, and then the ability, you know, where it's really our dollars, and that's, you know, included in our pay, like it is right now with employer contribution, that's when you get to a point where healthcare costs, as with everything else, will come down and become more competitive.
Tom in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Green Bay medical care used to be lower than the national average before we brought in competitive health care. Now we've got double of everything, and everybody's doing a crappy job. There's poor communication. And the big thing is we need a universal health care, because the problem that you see when you're out of a job or when you hit a major health problem, there's nothing that's going to cover you after you run your $2 million major medical out of whack. You know, when you don't have a job, you can't change jobs because you're working for the benefits. Plus, I think a universal health care would be probably the same as the Canadian system for the cost, because if you look at what the employer's contributing, what we're contributing, would be probably equivalent to what universal health care would cost, because the benefit over and above what our wages are. And
yeah,
what's that?
What is your question or comment that you'd like our guest to address?
My comment is the cost wouldn't be any more than what we're paying, and the other thing is the coverage would be a bit better because the Canadians would not take our system. They want.
All right. The cost would not be any more than what we're already paying, Mike Hipsch.
Well, even the Democrats recognize that the cost will go up significantly. You're going to see a huge payroll tax increase. You're going to see a huge increase in the employer taxes. And, of course, as the study that the health care plan put together themselves shows, that you will see many jobs across the state that simply will not be there anymore because the employer won't be able to afford it. You know, as far as a universal health care plan, that's, you know, is providing health care for everyone in the state is a universal goal. That's something we all want to do. But to turn it over to a government-run program, a government-controlled program, is simply a step in the wrong direction. And if you take a look at the health care system we have in this country, those from other countries who can afford to get out come here. This, the quality, the ability for our people to do health care so much better than any other nation in the world is why we have so many flock here when they have the means to do so.
Well, with only a minute to go in the program, you're going to have your hands full because taxes and health care are consistently the most important issues facing the state of Wisconsin, according to public opinion polls, and you've got to grapple with both of those in this budget, don't you?
Unquestionably, and we have, I think, in fact, are going to do so. We have a plan that is going to pass a budget without raising taxes, and as I've outlined, we have our patients' first health care plan, which is going to give personal ownership of your health care and inject more competition and, frankly, reform our health care system through the strength of the American consumer and not through the strength of American government.
We will keep our eyes on it. I hope you have a happy 4th of July. Thanks for being with us. Mike Hipsch, Republican State Representative from West Salem, a Speaker of the State Assembly, talking with us about what the Assembly intends to do with the proposed state budget. They will be taking it up next week. Thanks to Leo Duran and Christina Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.